Praise you and peace to God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Years and years ago, we spent most holidays with a family that was super close with us. We were best friends. And our two male children were best friends. And they would play and laugh and bathe together. They would run and jump, and they would carry on for the whole week or 2 weeks that we were together. One time they went out into the forest having a great time with my friend's oldest daughter, and she lost them in the forest. And we panicked. And in the end, there they were, those two boys playing together, no problem, sitting by a tree, having a lovely time, while the rest of us were having a series of heart attacks. But we always anticipated the leaving. It was ugly. Two little boys weeping as if the earth had come to an end, as if they would never ever see one another again. Tears going down their cheeks and crying and carrying on and hugging and oh my goodness. And it didn't just go for a minute, it went for the first hour of the drive. At first it was heartbreaking and then it was funny. Leave-taking is hard sometimes. But somehow, in the end, these two boys would recover because they knew the time would come that they would be back together again. Well, those tears wove themselves into the life of those two boys. They haven't seen each other for a long time, but I know that when they see each other again, it will be as if time had not passed and they will be 5 years old again. The tears mattered. Well, this week there's been a lot of tears. A lot of tears that have drawn all of us into some really difficult places. I'm sure if you have read anything in the news, you know about the shootings in Uvalde, Texas. Children and teachers, a grandmother, all killed in a senseless moment. Had this been an isolated incident, there would be tears enough. But as one incident in a parade of incidents in which murderers have taken high-powered automatic weapons and senselessly taken the life of children, mothers, fathers, brothers. I was struck by the wailing of moms and dads as they waited to find out if their children had died. It was a leave-taking without a good end. As 21 people found out that their loved ones would never return. If we place that in a kind of stark comparison to the promises of Jesus for life and life abundant, the promises Jesus makes his disciples and all of us about God's presence, God's love, that clothing in power that is so much a part of the gospel lesson and of the second lesson for today, it's hard to reconcile those two images. the joyful leave-taking of Jesus as he ascends into heaven set against the tragic leave-taking of children, it's almost impossible to reconcile. It is almost impossible to reconcile Jesus sending his disciples out into the world. He tells them as he's getting ready to ascend, look, go back to Jerusalem for a little while and wait, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will be clothed in power, and then I will send you out. I will send you out to do the vocation to which you have been called, to proclaim the gospel, the good news. It's the same command that Jesus has given you and has given me and given every one of us every day of our lives, that wrapped up in our vocation as teachers and engineers and scientists and homemakers and all of the things that you do, writers and musicians and singers, all of that, Jesus also is sending you out in your vocation to proclaim good news. I just wonder where the good news is today. The day and the week after the shootings in Uvalde, we asked our teachers and our principals to take up their vocation and go back into the classroom to do what they do, to teach, to form young people, to love and to care. One teacher said, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I am afraid. I think back to my years in school. I think my teachers were afraid, but it's for a totally different reason. I was in their classroom. Today, elementary teachers, high school teachers, college professors live with the real fear that the vocation to which Christ has sent them could meet a final goodbye. Surely our prayers are called for in these days. But it has to be maybe a different kind of praying. When Jesus sent his disciples out after he ascended, I was interested to look and say, well, what then did they do, right? I mean, did they go to the cloister and pray and shut themselves off? Did they, you know, go down to the first century equivalent of Denny's and have a cup of coffee and talk about how many committees they were going to put together and make sure that they didn't have to get together? No, they didn't do any of that. Jesus sent those disciples out to bring love in a new and powerful way into the world, to bring transformation, that love would be our watchword and our life. Now, to be sure, we have failed miserably at it. There's no way to get around the fact that we, for the most part, do what we want to do, and we want to have what we want and do what we want and share just what we want to. All of those things, that's part of how we're made. That's part of our brokenness. And God remains with us anyway. God keeps saying to us, I know you are broken. I know you want what you want. And I know that you have the greeds in your life. And I know that you're being pressured from the outside to do all of these things. But I want you to know I am with you anyway. As I said Friday night, Jesus ascended, but he didn't leave. He ascended, but he didn't leave. God remains with us even now, in this moment, in our fear and in our sorrow, in our uncertainty and our anxiety and our selfishness and our joy, in our lack of courage to do anything about the environment or guns or violence. God remains with us anyway. And for that, I am thankful. Because I think without God's presence, we will not change. And children will keep dying. I'll leave you to your own judgment about how politicians have responded to this tragedy. But as a pastor and a spiritual leader, I have to say that I am becoming impatient with politicians whose only response is, well, they are in my prayers. I want to shout, they are not in your prayers. They are in your hands. And they are in our hands, those children. And as long as we continue to just say we will pray for them and then keep living as if nothing happened, more children will die, more teachers will go to school afraid. As I said on Friday night, even churches now have started to arm their ushers. My sermons are usually not controversial enough to get shot. But honestly, we've had a number of, well, you know, a Bible study massacred. Unless we think that all of this is coming from the outside, one of our bishops reminded us that in 2 of the 10 most recent mass murders, the perpetrators were products of our church. Confirmed ELCA Lutherans. Our house. So I want to remind all of us on this Ascension Sunday that Jesus may have ascended, but he has not left us on our own. And that Holy Spirit that God gives to the disciples and to us is not a passive sort of thing that we can put on or take off. That Holy Spirit prods and energizes and encourages us to continue for the transformation of the world where love reigns, where life lives, and where hope is a part of our everyday vocabulary. My son and his friends and his friend wept and wept every time they came apart, knowing full well that within 3 months they would be back together. Who will dry the tears of parents whose children will never come home? It will be you and me and all who have received that Holy Spirit. For we will be tireless in proclaiming the good news. Tireless in our brokenness and our inefficiency and our struggle. we will receive that Holy Spirit again and again. That Christ may reign forever. Not from heaven, but from earth. For the ascended Christ remains with us still forever. Amen. Our worship continues with our hymn of the day, number 838 in the ELW.